This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. And again, this morning we've been kind of shaken up about, not really shaken up, but kind of a good time with the news about what's going on with the Indianapolis Colts. The shakeup there. Jeff Saturday has become the new head coach. Frank Reich has been let go. I wasn't surprised Frank Reich was let go. The season has not gone his way. They did not make the playoffs last year, losing that final game in Jacksonville. But he's been given a quarterback carousel since he's arrived in Indianapolis that you wouldn't wish on anybody, trying to establish something with one guy and a guy you can slowly build your team around, right? Whether it was Andrew Luck, Jacoby Brissett, Phillip Rivers, Carson Wentz, and now Matt Ryan. That's five different guys that he has gone into the season as starting quarterbacks. And that's very, very difficult for anybody, even a guy like Frank Reich, who's extremely smart about the offensive side of football. Remember, Frank Reich also has the distinction of creating two of the greatest comebacks in football history when he was a student at Maryland and then I think beat Miami. And then, of course, Buffalo, he was the quarterback that led them over the Houston Oilers in that divisional playoff game. But again, it's too much because each quarterback comes with a different style, and now you are having to adjust and base every a different style every single year. The one thing that I worry about, and I worry a little bit about for the players, particularly on this team, is that I know me hearing that Jeff Saturday, who I respect as a player, solid center, you know, right, Peyton Manning's guy, but the reality of it is this almost made a mockery of it. To be honest with you, I'm not saying that he just, it's not like he yanked Chris Berman, right? Just like, hey, he's a guy that knows football, huh? Like, it's not like that. He is a player. He is a smart player. He is an analyst. He knows the league. He knows the teams. He knows the players. But it still is a sense of mockery to it. And again, people dedicate their lives to become a head coach. And I wonder if you're on the Colts right now, do you look at the owner and go, man, that's the guy that signs my paycheck, but he's crazy. He's crazy. And I don't know if I want to be part of this train anymore. Some of those guys on the Colts don't care about Jeff Saturday. They didn't grow up watching Jeff Saturday and Peyton Manning go to the playoffs. They're just employed by the Colts. They may have rooted for a different team. And now here's a new guy coming in, never been a head coach in the NFL before, telling them what they're going to be doing on Sunday against the Titans. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Kane is in the building.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
It is time for Top 5 and Bottom 5. We have just completed yet another weekend in the NFL, and now it is time to give us our thoughts on where we see this league in terms of the best of the best and the worst of the worst. And we start with the best of the best. We go 5 all the way to 1, and if you'd like to respond to any of our picks, hate them, love them, think we're geniuses, think we're idiots on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. All righty, you ready, sir?
I would say it's probably more of the latter than the
former. Maybe the latter. All right. So number 5. I went back and forth with this. I liked what the Ravens did last night. They're 6-3, and they're a good 6-3. Sometimes 6-3 means you got like blown out in the three. No, they've been in tight games. They blew some leads. But I'm going to give it to another 6-3 team that I like, not only because of what they're doing on the field, because what they did off the field as well. And the number 5 team is the Miami Dolphins. I like them more than the 6-3 Jets. I like them more than the 5-3 Titans. I like them more than the Dallas Cowboys or the New York Giants. I like the Miami Dolphins. Getting Bradley Chubb is a great addition to their defense. They're explosive on offense. They got into a really nice back and forth with the Bears, who found a running game with Justin Fields at quarterback. But I think the Dolphins are scary good, and I think if they keep this up, they are the Indianapolis Colts of last year when I said, boy, nobody should play the Colts in the playoffs before that disappeared. The Dolphins aren't going to disappear, and I wouldn't want to play them in the playoffs. Dolphins are 5.
I did the same thing.
Nice!
I was going back and forth as well, dropped the Cowboys out, even though they didn't do anything wrong.
I did too. They just had a bye week, and I just went, eh.
But it's almost like, I don't want to talk about you because you didn't do anything.
Right.
You know, I was like, I want to talk about somebody who actually played. And even though it was a bit of a struggle for the Dolphins this past week, but I'm with you. The moves that they have made this season, you know, leading from the offseason to this season, are incredible. And honestly, Tua Tagovailoa, he might be the season's MVP right now.
I have a friend of mine I saw on Sunday night, and he said that he stopped watching the NFL because he didn't like the way the Dolphins treated Brian Flores. And I didn't want to get into him with it, but I was like, Mike McDaniel is doing a great job. Like, Brian Flores was not really a player's coach. He's a fine coach, but he's not a player's. Mike McDaniel has done a great, great job in Miami.
So, yes.
You know, let's give him credit. I know it was controversial. I thought the firing of Brian Flores was silly. But I'm not gonna use that to not recognize that they made the right choice with Mike McDaniel. He's great. He's been really good. So, yeah, Miami.
And right now, coach. I mean, Tua is undefeated this
McDonald.
Season.
Yeah.
Right. Tua is undefeated this season. Right. I don't think he hasn't lost a game this year.
He has not. That's right. He has not.
So I don't know. I mean, this team's fun.
So number four. We're going to talk about them later this hour. This is where I have the Minnesota Vikings, and I have no idea why. I don't know why they're 7-1. They're making it hard for me because they're 7-1, so I've got to recognize. They've beat a lot of bad teams. It's okay. I still got to recognize. But they're beating these bad teams by one score, but I still have to recognize. I don't know what they do well, right? It's Justin Jefferson is one of the top receivers in the league. Dalvin Cook runs the ball well. Kirk Cousins doesn't make a lot of mistakes. Is that it? That seems pretty basic. They're not explosive. They don't blow you out. They don't shut you down defensively. In fact, you can kind of score on them. But for whatever reason, maybe it's because the competition isn't as good. They have that one nice win against Miami. They're winning games, and they're 7-1. I'd love for them to be just, it would be much easier if they were 6-3, but they're not. So I'm giving them credit. My Minnesota's 4.
Yeah, you know, this is when I look at this and go, you know, maybe you and I have worked together too long.
Maybe.
You know, maybe. Like, you know how they say, like, dogs and owners start to look like each other after a while? I mean, we're picking the same way because I put the Vikings here as well. And for all the same reasons that you did, I should dock them a few points for Kirk Cousins' look. That post game when he was on airplane, shirtless with all the gold chains.
I mean, everybody's criticizing his physique.
Yeah, that plus it gave us the Adam Schefter look as well when Adam Schefter showed up to the dais yesterday looking like that. We don't need that in our lives, Kirk.
No,
and I blame both of those movements on you.
It was a little dad bodish for a quarterback in the National Football League.
But let's face it. I mean, they find ways to win. They didn't look good against the Commanders.
Nope.
And the Commanders are a terrible team. Yet they found a way to win again.
They've got the next four games. They've got Bills, Cowboys, Patriots, Jets.
Yeah.
So things are going to get a lot tougher for them.
But
they might be catching the Bills with Josh Allen's
exactly.
elbow injury.
I mean, just stupid,
there's
dumb
luck. There's all sorts of things that they could be doing. You never know who's going to be the quarterback of the Patriots because their offense is still not very good. Like, the Jets, you know, the blue might be off the rose. Like, I have no idea. Like, these next four games may not be as difficult as we think. They could go 0-4. They could go 3-1. Like,
yeah.
Who knows? Who knows? Number three, Buffalo. I dropped you a bit, Buffalo. The quarterback's got an elbow issue that they're evaluating this week. They lost to the Jets. There's no shame in that. Jets are a good team. They're tough out. But what they did to the Bills was really surprising. The Buffaloes, they're such an explosive team. And they really got taken out of their game a bit. Now, I will say, as I said yesterday, there is no need to panic in Buffalo. They lost to Jacksonville last year 9-6. And no one thought that was a problem for them in the playoffs. But I will say it again. The one thing you want to worry about if you're Buffalo is you're going to lose a game here and there. The one thing you do want to worry about is, one, losing games in a tight division. Miami is breathing down your neck. The Jets are breathing down your neck. Don't lose AFC East games. The second thing is that win against the Chiefs gave them basically a two-game lead over Kansas City for the home field advantage throughout the playoffs. Now, we have a lot of football left. You never know what happens. you lose a couple of more of these, you're going on the road, and you want the Buffalo to be hosting playoff games. It's a very, very great environment. And if you're the Bills, I wouldn't trust going on the road, no matter how good your team is. Be careful, Buffalo. But I got to drop you a bit for the loss, so you're 3.
Yep, Buffalo's here for me as well. Listen, you're 0-2 in your division. You haven't beaten a division opponent yet. And that, I mean, sure, should you worry about it? Probably not. You're going to be fine. You know, you are Buffalo. You have an explosive offense. You've played against the juggernaut that is the Chiefs, and, you know, you were able to take them apart. But still, I mean, when you're 0-2 against your own division, that spells doom, because those two teams have a blueprint on you that you couldn't figure out.
Yeah, be very careful.
One was to put you in the sun, but what the Jets did to you on Sunday was, you know, it was eye-opening, to
say
the
least.
Very much so. And with the absence of Josh Allen, I mean, how good is this team?
Who is the backup quarterback in Buffalo now that Mitch Trubisky is now the backup quarterback with the Steelers?
That's a great question. No idea.
Is it Matt Barkley? Is he still kicking around there? No, it's Case Keenum.
Is it Case Keenum? Mm. There you go.
I just looked it up. Case Keenum. I never know. You know what I should do? I should have a list of all the backup quarterbacks, all the QB2s of every NFL team.
No, you shouldn't.
That's my big question.
No, you shouldn't.
No, because I would think it would be a fascinating list. You would be like, oh, he's still in the league. How awesome is that? Still getting a check. It's like when you found out Jim McMahon was on the Green Bay Packers back in the day. When you're like, oh, he has 2 rings? Yeah, he's the backup quarterback in Green Bay. Oh, that's
or
awesome.
Even
things like that.
This year when I found out that, what's his name? Jort's guy. Why am I blanking on his name? The old Jacksonville quarterback.
Oh, Gardner Minshew.
Is on the Eagles.
Was still kicking around the league, yeah.
Yeah, still. He's Jalen's backup. I love it.
I've had a lot of pleasant surprises when I click on like depth chart and I go, oh, look at that. So-and-so did find a job after a miserable failure.
I feel like every time I do that, though, you turn into Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
That's the name I have not heard.
Yes, exactly. That's a name I have not heard quite some time. Number 2 is I put Kansas City here.
Uh-oh.
I know. This is where we might differ. I put Kansas City here. I thought they were going to lose that game Sunday night. I did. I do not wear Titans colored glasses. The two-toned blue. I don't wear Titans colored glasses. I thought they were going to lose that game. I thought Tennessee was running the ball so well. That was the formula. I thought, you know, hey, look, Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. But at the end of that game, when Mahomes was running like mad, I was like, This is what I was worried about. Look, there's nothing wrong with the Chiefs. They're number 2 because I got the team higher them that I'm just respecting now. Kansas City is 2nd. Well, there's nothing wrong. I thought they'd lose Sunday night, but there's nothing wrong with the Chiefs.
Number 2, I went with the Eagles.
Yeah.
We did change it up there. We were 3 for 3 until we got to that point.
Listen, I'm going to tell you, I'm Eagles 1.
Yeah.
I'm not like other people like they're undefeated and until you take them down. No. You can be undefeated playing lousy football against bad teams. I look at the package and I'm at a point with this Eagles team where I'm like, they're efficient, man. They are just efficient. And I'm really liking the way they're steadying the ship. They're not getting too ahead of themselves and caught up.
Let's see. What I felt, though, the Chiefs got past a better AFC South opponent than the Eagles did.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
I got you. That makes sense.
Yeah, the Eagles, I mean, they kind of limped through that first half when they should have just put the Texans away. And then they turned it on the second half. And then they stuck around the locker room. I'll give them bonus points for sticking around the locker room to watch the Phillies lose the World Series. Game 5?
Game 5.
But I don't think any of them went to Game 6, and that was a little disappointing also.
Yeah, they should have gone to Game 6.
Should have gone to Game 6, at least a couple of them.
At least whatever.
Jalen Hurts should have. I mean, Astros uniform.
Yeah, go cheer for the old Houston Astros. But yeah, we just flipped that around. But other than that, we got the rest of the top 5. Your top 5, if you want to share it with us on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with 2 N's. All right, coming up, a lot more fun when we do bottom 5, because you never know why we might have a team in the bottom 5. It's coming up next as Wake Up Call continues. Oh,
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I got a quick question before we get to bottom five. If you are going on a trip on a plane and somebody charters you one of those sort of stuff a sardine in a can puddle jumper planes, you can't tell people you were on a private jet, right?
No.
Because I see people get on these. They're like, we're flying to such and such, and it looks like they're in a closet. And I'm like, when I think of private jet, I think of like there's a bed in the back, there's like a kitchen, there's like big, huge couches and TVs, and you know people making food.
My definition is if there's a chair that is backwards.
Yeah, right. A chair that is backwards and like big computer screen that says exactly where you are. Yeah, that's what I think about a private jet. I don't think of like a propellers and like, everybody okay? Has everybody got room? Is everybody okay? Because we have to shift the luggage because if it's like a little too heavy on one side, we may have to get a lean over to the left. All right, so let's get to bottom five. Let's start 28. I left them here. I had them higher, but they were on a bye week. Pittsburgh. There's 32 teams in the National Football League. Nobody scores less points per game than the Steelers. They're averaging 15 points a game. That's it. Their quarterback, Kenny Pickett, who I'm going to eventually fall in love with, people, 8 interceptions and 2 touchdowns in the first 5 games of his career. They cannot run the ball. Their offensive line stinks. Najee Harris can't get undone. TJ Watt could be coming back. That'd be fine. It's still not going to change him. I don't know who in this league I would, if the Steelers were playing them, I don't know who I would say they could easily beat. Not even some of the teams that are going to be mentioned above them. They should be even higher than this. But they were on a bye week, so I'll give them a break. The Steelers at 28.
That is one team I did not include in my bottom five.
They stink!
They do. They do. But I think it's because they didn't play this last week that I completely forgot about
them. And you do this. If you don't play, usually have other fun.
I'm not going to penalize you for not playing. It's not your fault. Yeah. You know, that's the way the schedule works. However, I will penalize you when you're just a bad football team. This team was much lower. I decided to, because of recent things that have happened, they've moved up the list.
Yeah.
And this is the Carolina Panthers.
Okay.
They're a bottom five team, let's face it.
No doubt.
You know, the PJ Walker fun, like, hey, this guy's the savior of the Panthers, that's dead. That's over. Still without really a head coach. Still have no line. I mean, all the problems that they had last week are still here.
Yeah.
And they're not going to get any better. This team is going to be mediocre. Actually, I'll say below mediocre at best. I think they'll get a few wins, but that's maybe 2 or 3 for the rest of the season. That's just what you got, Carolina.
All right. 29 on my list. This is where I put the Raiders. Now, I want to bury the Raiders. I really do. Here's the problem, though.
You're not a Chargers fan, so it's right? Uncharted territory
for
you.
Here's the problem, though. And I shouldn't be making these kind of assessments, but when I'm going with a bunch of 2-3-1 win teams and trying to sort them out, here's what is preventing me from dumping the Raiders into the 30s. When Derek Carr and Davante Adams hook up, that's great. They still have that. They had 2 touchdowns early in that game against Jacksonville. What happened to it after that? No idea. Why did Jacksonville score 20 unanswered points to come back and win that game? No idea. They're a bad team. But we kept them out of bottom five for most of the season for this reason. They were in these close games. It seems like they were acceptable losses given who they were playing. Now it's not that. So they deserve to be in the bottom five. But they're still way too talented to be a complete and utter mess. So I had to decide, do I punish a talented team for being a mess, or do I just punish them for being a mess? I decided to kind of find the middle ground here. They're 29, because I do think if you catch them right, they can beat a lot of teams in this league. They're just not doing it right now. So 29, you're the Raiders.
To be continued. 29 for me. This is where I had the Packers.
Packers. Okay.
I wanted to put them lower, but again, due to recent events, they got to remain out of the bottom 30. How about that?
I got you.
They didn't reach 30 yet. They should be in the 30. I could make an argument that they are the 32nd team in this league.
Sure.
Because whatever that was on Sunday was abysmal. I'm not calling it football. I don't know if they played football on Sunday. I'm not sure what it was. I think at this point, I might even rank Georgia above the Packers. I know that's silly, but you know what? You understand what I'm saying. This is a terrible football team.
Yeah,
they
might as well
absolutely
continue
horrendous.
I got them at 30, so we might as well keep this conversation rolling along now. I have them at 30. That was terrible. They were 0-for-4 in the red zone with two Aaron Rodgers interceptions.
Something that never happens.
And don't give me the bonked off the helmet pass. He should have thrown it to bonk off a guy's helmet. What's he doing? It's like he's doing it on purpose. I don't understand this. Like, and I liked what Jared Dubin said yesterday. I am tired of hearing it's this and that, and it's this and that. He's not carrying this team. He's not doing anything to make the team a little bit better. He's just complaining about what he has. I'm with you. This was a disaster. It's not like the Lions blew him out of the water. The Lions had, they weren't scoring any points either.
Come on, they got 15.
They had 15.
That's it.
Absolutely. The Packers should have put at least two touchdowns on the board to make it somewhat interesting. That's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. But I'm with you. They're enough with this. Aaron Rodgers doesn't have Devontae Adams. I don't care.
We might have to explore this a little bit more because I think you might be onto something. You might be right that he is tanking on purpose.
I don't know why he would.
He's just so mad at the team for dealing away Devontae Adams.
They're not doing anything for him.
Know.
Like nothing for him. At the trade deadline,
they don't care about him.
Now, like I said, I know they made phone calls, and again, there are reasons why deals don't happen. It's not because one team doesn't make a call, but they might not be desperate enough, you know, for Claypool like the Bears were. But good gracious, they're not helping him out at all. But still, it's on him too.
Yeah,
it's on him too. You got to find what your receivers can do and the kind of throws they can catch. Then I don't care. Figure it out. Packers is 30.
Yep, number 30 for me. This is where I have the Raiders.
Okay.
And it's just because, for everything that we're saying about the Packers, the Raiders look—they are on the wrong. It almost feels like they were on the wrong end of the Devontae Adams trade.
You know what? I'm telling you. I know.
It just doesn't make any sense. This team on paper is a playoff team. They have everything they need to make a deep run into a playoffs.
Both teams are bad. Both Devontae Adams left, and both teams are bad for it.
It's amazing.
It's not his fault, but they can't figure out.
You know, and can say the same thing about Josh McDaniels leaving too. I mean, you know, Patriots are equally as bad. They're just not as bad. They're not bottom five bad, but they could be there. And frankly, I said this earlier on that I think Josh McDaniels' job is safe for this year. I think they're going to give him the benefit of the doubt. But if it keeps trending like this, I don't see how he lasts a year.
I don't know either, because I think that you need, you know, this is a game, this is a league of like momentum, and you're building off of good momentum, and you got better on paper. You didn't get worse on paper. You didn't lose a series of guys and go, well, what do you expect? We had this guy and this guy. They got better from last year, and now it's over. It's over. They're done. They're not going to make the playoffs, and they were a team that was going to be in the big pool of playoff teams to consider around this time, and they're not in it. I agree completely. And I was all high on Josh McDaniels because I thought he had potential and I thought he had matured, and he has. He's not acting the same way he did in Denver when the wheels came off in Denver. But at the same time, the wheels are coming off of this train, and I'm terrible for him. 31 for me. This is where I put the Carolina Panthers, because P.J. Walker was awful, and yet they're going to stick with him. Baker Mayfield came in and threw two touchdowns. I don't know why they're sticking with P.J. Walker. I don't know what they see enough to make him the quarterback.
I hear you.
Walker was terrible. Mayfield's healthy. He threw two touchdowns, but they gave up 5 in the first half. 4 to Joe Mixon. In that first half, in that 35-0 game against Cincinnati at halftime. Carolina's 31.
Yeah, for me, 31. This is where I have the Colts.
Colts. Oh, the Colts. Why didn't I put the Colts in here? I don't know. Why did I miss the Colts? I agree with you. Colts should have been in here.
Yeah. I put the Colts. We've been talking about them all morning.
I don't know what happened to me, why I had a brain freeze. I think I made this before the show started, and I should have adjusted on the fly.
Yep.
Houston Texans, the 32nd
bottom
team.
Line, bottom
Come
team.
Come on,
yep.
Houston. Hang in there. Hang in there, man. Hang in there. All right, we'll come back. We've got A.J. Mansour from KFan in Minnesota on the Vikings. 7-1. They were in my top five. Why?
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, we're looking to get A.J. Mansour on from the KFan of Minnesota. Vikings are 7-1, close wins all season long. It's kind of their style, Kirk Cousins and the Vikings, 4.5-game lead in their division. Before we get to that, we are approaching heavy weather season. It did get me thinking because driving should be an enjoyable experience even when it's raining. But you know what the worst situation is? When you're enjoying yourself in the car, listening to your favorite music or your talk show, and then the wipers hit, and then it's embarrassing. It's dangerous, too. And that's when you know you need new wipers. Don't let squeaky wipers ruin your great moments. Here, clearly, by Michelin wipers. Michelin is always reminding drivers how important it is to regularly check their wipers for safety on the road. They've even made it an official holiday, the International Check Your Wipers Day. It's coming up November 16th. Don't forget, check your wipers. It's simple to update your wipers to Michelin. Pick them up at Walmart. All right, let's go to the Progressive Guest Line. And A.J. Mansour joins us from KFan in Minnesota. And the Vikings were 7-1. How are you, A.J.?
I'm doing pretty good. Chilly, but good.
Good. All right, 7-1. If you would define it, how they're doing it, how would you place what this record is?
Well, hey, if we're going to define it, I think we'd have to say serendipitous. I mean, this is a good football team that has had some good fortune as well. I guess that might be the long-form version of it. You have a talented football team that takes over with a new coaching regime, a new GM this year, a breath of fresh air, I guess, is what has happened with this organization. Everybody seems a little like they can be like them more like themselves this season, and that has allowed players specifically like Kirk Cousins to get a little goofy, to be more of a leader, to step up into that role and have that opportunity. But at the same time, you have a well-rounded team. They haven't played perfect yet. I mean, they have not had everything clicking on all cylinders, but they're well-rounded and talented enough to have the defense carry the load one game, and then the offense carry the load the next, and special teams step up to fill in the gaps where they need to, and they just haven't dug themselves a deep enough hole outside of week two against Philadelphia, the only game they lost to, the undefeated Philadelphia Eagles. Outside of that game, they've been able to dig themselves out of any holes that they put themselves in and been able to outlast the opponent in any push that they put. But it's been 6 one-score games this season. So they're not dominating, but they are a very tough football team that knows how to get the win.
You mentioned Kevin O'Connell. Their fingerprints of what he's been able to put on this team so far this season. You mentioned sort of this the atmosphere. What else has been so different about him coming in this season, one of the 10 head coaches, the 10 new head coaches of the season, and how has he impacted what we're seeing so far?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he comes from the Sean McVay coaching tree, so when you think about his impact, you're going to probably see it on the offensive side of the football, and that's what we're seeing here in Minnesota. The predictability of the Vikings offense over the last handful of years was one of the detriments of Mike Zimmer. He was a defensive head coach, but he wanted to have his hands and wanted the offense to look a certain way. That's why he cycled through offensive coordinators for the last, 5 years that he was the head coach. And it became predictable. Run on first down, run on second down, force yourself into third and long if that didn't work. This new offense with Kevin O'Connell, while it doesn't have, you know, the same dynamic feel yet that the Rams of last year did, it is a situation where you don't know what's coming at you. And with a team that has weapons in the backfield and Dalvin Cook and C.J. Ham, and then you have outside Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, now they add T.J. Hockenson, they can go to any direction of their playbook on any given play and have confidence that it's going to work. The offensive line has given Kirk Cousins some more time, and that has helped everything. But really, on that offensive side of the football, it's just the defense doesn't know what's coming. And because they haven't really expanded the playbook and done everything because it's kind of been a little slow to go for the Vikings, they're adding things each week that is new and catches the opponent off guard.
How quickly has T.J. Hockenson been adapting to now playing in Minnesota?
I mean, much quicker than any of us thought. I think he had, 7 catches for 90-some yards in his debut just 5 days after arriving with his new team. Now, he didn't know the playbook. I mean, this was a situation where he's coming up to the line of scrimmage and he's asking, you know, the other tight end what he's supposed to do, which direction he's supposed to run. And there were some scenarios, if you looked close enough, where you could see, okay, two receivers really close to each other. One of them was T.J. Hockenson, and maybe he didn't go in the right direction or took the wrong break out of his route. But when you talk about the impact that he has, just as a pass catcher, it is a tight end pass catching option that this team didn't have, where you can catch a guy in motion, in stride, get him going and get some yards after the catch. It was pretty plodding with, you know, even from Kyle Rudolph to Irv Smith, it was, they faced the line of scrimmage, catch ball, turn around, fall down. I mean, it was kind of like that thing. This is now a dynamic catching threat, pass catching threat that they add to this mix. And based off what they did in week one with him on the roster, just kind of leaning on the impact that he's going to have, he's going to be a big part of this offense. And as that continues, that's going to open things up for Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson on the outside. It'll open things up for Dalvin Cook in the run game. And this offense should just expand itself even further.
You mentioned earlier about the sort of the way the Vikings are playing compared to what they were under Mike Zimmer. Give me an idea with that, where Dalvin Cook fits into what they're doing now, where he used to fit in with what they were doing on those runs back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a transition with Dalvin. Let's go back 3 or 4 years to Dalvin Cook being the focal point of this offense to now just being another one of the weapons. I mean, it has now shifted to Justin Jefferson outside, and then you have complementary weapons with Thielen, Hockenson, Ham, KJ Osborne across the board there. But it you don't have to rely on Dalvin. And I think it's a role that suits him well. We've seen him in past years kind of go down with injury because they were leaning on him so many times. He was so involved and got so many carries, and they needed him to be a pass-catching threat and a running threat. And they didn't have an offensive line to give him those holes, so he was just getting crushed in the backfield at the line of scrimmage all over the place, and his body wasn't holding up. Now, he's had one injury this year, came back from it pretty quick. But it has taken a little bit of the weight off of his plate, and I think that is a good scenario for Dalvin. It keeps him fresh longer into the game so that when you come to that fourth quarter, you know you still have energy back there. You have an explosive threat out of the backfield. He's probably catching the ball a little bit more in that passing game. There was an amazing double move fade route into the end zone this last weekend. That's a route that you throw to your best wide receiver, not your running back. And he made a one-handed catch in the back of the end zone to, I think that was the go-ahead touchdown or maybe the tying touchdown for the Minnesota Vikings late in that fourth quarter. So they're using him smarter and not more than they did with the previous regime.
Locally, obviously, it's a different view. But nationally, are people slow to catch on what the Minnesota Vikings are doing? Or is it I've seen this kind of before and then I don't see them later in January?
Yeah, I mean, it's very slow on the national front. I mean, the Minnesota Vikings, I think, have the second-best record in the entire NFL. And when you look at the most recent, like, Vegas odds for who's going to, you know, win the Super Bowl, I think they're, like, seventh or eighth, like, behind teams like San Francisco and Dallas and teams that have had their own hiccups and their own troubles along the way that are still good football teams. But here's what I will tell you. The fact that this team is winning the games where they're not playing perfectly, when they're not even playing well sometimes, is a testament to the veteran leadership, but it's also something that is going to snap the nation. If they can continue to get these wins, the further you go into this season, the more used to this new offense they get, the more used to this new defense that the team gets, the more that they're able to expand and open up that playbook. This is a team that, no question, has the talent to compete. They have the will to compete. They have the cutting edge that you need, whatever it is, in the fourth quarter to come back and finish a game. They have that to compete. And when they start playing actual good football on a regular basis, this is going to be a team that is not going to want to be messed with down the stretch. So if the nation continues to sleep on this team, I think that they might have something coming down the stretch when the playoffs come. Now, on the other hand, the last part of your question there was, we've seen this before from the Minnesota Vikings. They get to the playoffs, they do good, they miss a field goal in the NFC Championship multiple times, Brett Favre, all these things. That's still in the back of every Minnesota Vikings football fan's mind, as well as NFL fans. They just know that the Vikings need to prove it before they're going to get the full confidence of everybody across the nation. So they have the talent, they have the will, and there's still room to grow for this team. That's a good recipe to make a push into the playoffs.
And so I guess the one other point, we were just talking about Dalvin Cook, but Kirk Cousins. How does Kirk Cousins react, and how has Kirk Cousins benefited from Kevin O'Connell arriving?
It's a different Kirk this year.
No doubt.
Whether it was simply personalities that didn't mesh with Mike Zimmer or whatever you want to call it, The Kirk Cousins that we're seeing this year is different. He's more comfortable. He's more of a leader. The locker room has completely bought into him, and there's no power struggle behind the scenes. And again, he's one of those players that hasn't exactly played his best football. We've seen his best football. We know what he can do, and we haven't seen it yet this season. So once he gets that together, once he gets a little more comfortable in this offense, I think that there's room to grow for Kirk Cousins. But again, there's an intangible with Kirk this year that has not been there in years past. And I do think it is the kind of intangible that can push this team to success and push Kirk to success on primetime games, national games, playoff games that he hasn't seen throughout his career.
AJ, thanks so much for this. We were just talking about, to be honest with you, we were talking about teams we wanted to start talking about, and we have delayed the Vikings for that very reason that you mentioned. We sort of said, let's wait. And then we finally, and I said it earlier today, I said, I can't ignore this anymore. 7-1, you are what your record is. I can't ignore this anymore. When the NFC is wide open, there's no more Packers kicking around. Tom Brady is struggling in Tampa. These sort of standards that we've had. There is no reason why people should be sleeping on a team in that conference on a 7-1 football team.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because this is what everybody does, but for sure Minnesotans, we extrapolate into the future. And this team could have the division wrapped up by Thanksgiving. I mean, because the Packers are down, the Bears, Lions, it's all kind of falling apart for everybody else. The division could be wrapped up. And then what do? I mean, you're pushing for home field potentially. You got a bye. You have those things to push on, but you change your focal point a little bit when you have that situation wrapped up and you know that you're going to make the playoffs. So it'll be interesting. And again, there's a big game this weekend, a big test against the Buffalo Bills, a really good defense, a really good offense that's going to push this team to its limits, and it's going to really give you a good barometer. I don't count week two and that blowout loss to the Eagles as a great barometer of how good either of those teams are, the Eagles or the Vikings. We know they're both good football teams, but it was week two of an NFL season with a brand new coach and brand new system and everything for the Vikings. So I don't necessarily look at that and say the Eagles are way better, but now we're in 8-9 weeks into a season and you're going to play one of the best teams, best quarterback, maybe, I guess. Josh Allen could be out with that injury, but a good team all around. This is going to be a good test and a good barometer for where this Vikings team really is at. And if they do pull this victory out, then the nation is going to start talking about the Minnesota Vikings.
AJ Monser, K-Fan Minnesota on the 7-1 Vikings. Really appreciate it, AJ. Thanks for joining us again. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a great one, guys.
You got it. And listen, we had 10 new head coaches coming to this league this year. 10. We talked about it all offseason, right, in our previews. That's a third of this league that has a new head coach, right? A third. And who are we talking about? Well, we're talking about Brian Daboll with the Giants, Mike McDaniel with the Dolphins. We're talking about Nathaniel Hackett screwing up in Denver. We're talking about Josh McDaniels not living up to the hype in Las Vegas, right? I mean, there were 10. Doug Peterson, Jacksonville, started off great, disappeared. Matt Eberflus, eh. But Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota is getting zero attention. Zero. I wonder how many people remember Kevin O'Connell got hired.
Yeah, I'll raise my hand first.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting that they have a first-year head coach.
Exactly. They have a first-year head coach. It's so funny because, again, it goes back to, this, like we were just talking about, the same old Vikings. They do pretty well. They look pretty good. You know, maybe not 7-1 good, but, you know, are they Packers good? We used to say that all the time about them. When they would be on these little hot streaks, we go, well, are they Packers good? Like, in the end, I mean, are they going to be...
We're still doing that.
Right?
I mean, you know, they're by far and away the best in the NFC Central.
Does this NFC team North. Have to win by 20 points a game for people to go? But when you have a team that's not around in January enough, and if they are, it's a boop, gone, right? See ya, thanks. Like, do you remember they had a playoff game a couple years ago where a guy missed a field goal in the cold? Like, I mean, it was like, well, before they moved and everything. It was like... They've had so many opportunities and to take a good start and do something, and they can't. And a lot of it is because of the division, right? They were never a team that was going to compete with a 13-4 Packer team, or back in the day, a 12-4 Packer team, or whatever Green Bay was putting together. So what were you doing? You were playing around with wild cards, the two wild cards, and maybe they weren't quite good, or their record wasn't quite good, and they would be on the, you know, and they couldn't get in. Would they get in? Or they'd get in and disappear. But they have a brand new head coach, and nobody's talking about him. They want to talk about how bad Nathaniel Hackett is, or how good Brian Daboll is, or how good Mike McDaniel is, how terrible Josh McDaniel is. Right? But nobody's talking about Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota. And we probably should. I mean, they're winning close games. They're not, style points aren't there, but they're winning games. All right, we'll come back, wrap up the hour. It's Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I had a vision of a Viking kicker missing a field goal like at Green Bay or some other outdoor cold place in the playoffs. But I looked it up and my memory wasn't there. So maybe in another alternative universe that existed and I'm just getting the two universes confused. But I swear...
Is it the Mandela effect?
It might be the Mandela effect. I swear, I thought I remembered a Vikings kicker. And obviously, it wouldn't be at home because they've been playing in a dome pretty much my entire life.
Yeah.
But going to like Green Bay.
I think it's. I think you're confusing it with that other purple team.
Chicago? Yeah, I know. I might be doing that. I don't know. So apparently, it didn't happen because I had to look it up because I do this all the time. My wife hates it because I'll think of a sports thing. And I'll just grab my phone real quick, and I'm like, hold on one second. I just got to look this up.
Yeah.
It's killing me. Like, I'm trying to remember the year something happened, or I'm trying to remember the circumstances of something happened. So I'll just Google like crazy. And I looked up their playoff log, and I couldn't find any close games in cold weather stadiums on the road for their playoffs. So that didn't happen. Their last playoff appearance was in 2019. They lost the divisional game to San Francisco. They made the playoffs in 2017. They lost the conference championship game to the Philadelphia. Do you even remember the Vikings when went away from the Super Bowl?
Yes.
A couple years ago.
I was thinking about that because it's the Minnesota lost 30, Miracle.
The Minnesota Miracle was the game prior.
And then they went to the Eagles and lost.
That's right. They lost. And 2015, they lost a wild card game to Seattle.